You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream, on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. All kinds of things coming your way on the show today. Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio, will be joining us after the 10:30 news to kick around. Michael Gableman's back in the news.
I missed him.
Yes, you don't have to, because we're going to have a little update about Michael Gableman coming up with Pat Kreitlow after 10:30. In the 11 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about nursing in Madison, and they're still waiting for a contract.
I was saying to you before we got on the show today, we talked about this. I feel like last year.
This has been the long in progress. So that's coming up after the 11 o'clock news at 11:30, which is now the segment that we refer to as Audio Sorbet, where we like to lighten things up a little bit for the last half hour of the show. Today, the question is going to be, is it me? Am I cheap? Or am I Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Am I cheap or am I Wisconsin? This goes back to something we talked about yesterday on the show. So stick around for that. And then we will wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the How the Cookie Crumbles edition.
Okay.
I have a personal interest in this one.
Okay.
Greg and I don't necessarily agree in this. That's fine.
We just have we have different levels of opinions.
Yes, on this. Yeah. So that's coming up at the very end of the show. Did want to give you a little bit heads up, though. Change is hard.
It is.
Change is hard. It's all going to be fine.
It will be?
It will be fine.
Do you promise, Jane?
I promise you things will be fine. There are some changes coming to the lineup here at Civic Media. In a couple weeks, we will be moving from our current slot, 10 to noon.
Yeah.
We're going to be moving up an hour.
Is that how you say it? Up an hour?
Up an hour.
Okay.
Yes. We'll be moving up an hour, so our show will be running from 9 to 11.
Okay.
Instead of 10 to noon.
Gotcha.
This is coming in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
We will keep reminding you about this.
Yes.
And if you can't listen, and certainly I understand that, depending on what your schedule is like and when you work and when you run errands and all those things, you can always find us on the web.
Yes.
At civicmedia.us. You can also sign up and get downloads, right?
Yeah, you can go to civicmedia.us and download episodes every single day, or you can go to your favorite podcast distribution center of choice and subscribe to the show as a podcast, and you'll get... I think you'll get two from the show, and you can sign up separately for This Shouldn't Be a Thing. So you get three podcasts a day from us. Some say overkill. Some, like me, say just enough.
For the same price.
Exactly.
It's free.
Free.
Absolutely free. So, yes, in a couple of weeks, we will be moving up an hour from 9 to 11, Matinair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Wanted to start off with this. This is good news. Mm-hmm. Headline reads, this is from Lauren Villagran in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Wisconsin Trump voter's wife freed after 49 days in ICE custody. We had talked about this a couple of weeks ago when this first broke. Bradley Bartell voted for President Trump. A month later, ICE arrested his wife, who is from Peru. After more than 40 days in detention, 49 days she was held at a facility in Louisiana, they have been reunited.
Yes.
So the couple met in Peru, Bartell and Munoz, she is from Peru, met in the Dells. They got married last year.
Yes.
They took a belated honeymoon to Puerto Rico in February. Unaware, her decision to overstay a work study visa during the pandemic could get her in ICE detention. So as they were coming back from their delayed honeymoon, federal agents pulled her aside, asked if she was a U.S. citizen. Puerto Rico is a U.S. territory, a domestic flight, but even so, she said no, but that she and her husband had submitted all the paperwork for her legal permanent residency. That wasn't enough. They pulled her out and took her to Louisiana. For almost 6 weeks.
Yeah.
She had no pending court date or bond hearing of any kind, despite the fact she has no criminal record, wasn't facing any criminal charges for almost 6 weeks.
Yeah.
No due process. Nothing.
And the process with which Bradley had to go through to get things rolling was not easy as well.
Right.
I mean, not comparing their experiences, but this whole experience for them as a couple, very, 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 very hard.
Absolutely. He made a 15-hour drive to Monroe, Louisiana last month to visit his wife. They were allowed 1 2-hour visit. The meeting was their only face-to-face time together while she was detained. She says, I understand the government is doing stuff to protect the country, but I was thinking it's too much. I started to get scared. I met women who had been there 7 or 8 months. People who thought they are in the process to become Americans or get a green card.
Yeah.
She said, I wasn't the only one. There are a large number of people there who are married. As of 9 a.m. last Friday, Munoz attended her bond hearing with an immigration judge on video. The government's attorney told the judge, this case has been in the news. Seems like an interesting thing for an attorney to throw in.
Yeah.
The judge set bond at $3,000, so her husband had to pay it in person. After his drive down to Louisiana, he spent another 4 hours round trip to the nearest ICE office because he didn't want to spend another night in lockup. Bartel says of other women who were detained with his wife, it's tough hearing about people in for 7 months. What's the logic? Why not use an ankle monitor? I'm glad I was able to get her out.
All great questions, sir.
Perfectly reasonable questions.
Perfectly, like, and the issue of people entering this country illegally and what to do with them, there are ways of taking care of the situation. But I think, as we've seen with both economic and with this, that is not the Trump way of doing it. If you say we're going to put together a plan where we're going to be, like it or not, you say you're going to put together a program where we're deporting all the people who are here illegally. That's their thing. But take time to put together a plan instead of just knocking down doors, entering in houses, arresting people at the airport, grabbing them off the street illegally, and doing this, because now we have stories like this. We see images of people in other countries and leaving. If you want to get it done, you can do it, but make a plan. And this is a very valid question. What's the logic? And can't you use ankle monitoring services? And also, if a person, and we've talked about this before, a person who wants to be here legally, if you say to them you are on some sort of house arrest, they're most likely going to follow the rules.
Absolutely.
So they can go through the process.
Yes.
To be here legally.
And if we had invested more money in the border and these processes that help people go through the process of becoming a citizen, that would help a whole lot.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're very, I mean, like,
that's great that she's out. That's great.
It's great she's out.
She should never have been confined, in my opinion, in the first place.
But it's hard to look at this story and not have bigger questions. One, it's just craziness to me that a Trump supporter is like, I understand why they're doing it.
But why are they doing it like this?
But why are they doing it? Those questions will never be answered by anybody. And then it just that, but what you said too is when the attorney said this case has been in the news. What
bearing does that have?
Yeah. Is this going to be a, are we going to let her go?
Because it was in the news.
And say, oh, well, you know, see what happens. There are good stories, and this things happen for people. And now she's doing all the right things. And it wasn't that she was doing a wrong thing. She just made a mistake.
She has no criminal record in the U.S. or in her home country. She's still facing an immigration court process related to her visa overstay. Mm-hmm. Separate from their application for her to get a green card, which is under review, she is now set to go before an immigration judge in mid-April. She says, quote, I understand Trump is doing his job as president and these are the processes, but the cases should move more quickly if people aren't associated with a gang or don't have a criminal record, unquote.
I mean, honestly, I would take out that last part. I just think the thing should move quicker to begin with. And as you said, if we gave resources to border security
and judges to
the immigration courts, it could go faster.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. 855-752-4842 if you want to join the discussion. Jack from Merrimack is on the line. Good morning, Jack. What do you want to say about this?
Good morning. Well, Maggie Dunn, who is a lawyer, reminds us daily, I think, that this sort of thing is not just illegal, it's unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. The Constitution clearly gives specific rights, and it says citizens where it means citizens. Whether she's a citizen or not, however, in this case, is irrelevant because the Constitution also has provisions that apply to persons
in
the United States.
Yep.
And that doesn't mean that they have to be citizens. Any
Correct.
Person has to has these rights available, and
yes.
and among them are things like the right to not be illegally arrested and held in custody. I mean, this is the whole point of this thing is that the Trump administration is still stirring up this fear, xenophobic fear of the other people who are not American citizens. And it's to keep this in the forefront, keep it in the news, so people continue to have this xenophobic, irrational fear. And it's also to inflict as much pain on anybody that comes to this country as possible.
I've seen this a lot in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
The cruelty is the point.
Yes.
Cruelty is the point. All right, we're going to switch gears a little bit when we return. It's coming very quickly, and you're going to need one.
Yes.
So stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach. Sweet Calvi on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 10:30 news, Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio, will be joining us. Michael Gabelman, you may have heard that name. He's back in the news. We'll have a little update about the former Supreme Court justice here in Wisconsin.
Okay.
Can you tell I'm happy?
You guys ever heard Schadenfreude?
And yes, we're going to move on to a real ID is coming, and we're going to get to that in a minute because you're going to need it. But Rob from Port Edwards has been waiting on the line. Good morning, Rob. Thank you for joining us. Did you want to talk about the couple here in Wisconsin whose wife was just freed from ICE?
Well, I'm going to become public enemy number one, but I am so frustrated and sad that we constantly have to have an immigration crazy. And my thought, and this is all predicated on legislators and someone to sign the bill to actually establish courts, the proper amount, establish a proper border control. And I don't mean steel walls 20 feet high,
right,
but proper border control, establish a means of intake for the people. And if folks are deemed not the proper people, some proper means to get them where they belong, not in shackles and shaved heads. But what I'm going to propose is that there's an arbitrary date of, say, 1 year, okay? And again, this is arbitrary.
Right.
To tell the whole wide world, put it out on social media, news, you know, Fox News, MSNBC, all over the country, and let people know, if you are in this country without proper documentation, turn yourself in. You will be noted, registered, identified, your location, and from that you will have due process, meaning in front of a judge you will be given a number and a file case, and you can move forward in a proper amount of time, not 20 years, but let's say, again, arbitrary, 5 years, where you become a U.S. citizen. If after that 1 year point people say, well, I don't want to turn myself in, well, now you're fair game. Okay. Now,
I appreciate that, Rob. I think those are some good points. We both sides have kicked this immigration can down the road for decades, decades and decades and decades, and have used it as a political football back and forth without coming up with any actual solutions.
Well, I mean, the Republicans have had a plan. It's just get rid of them. And they've wanted to do that. And now they're doing it in the most aggressive, violent way they've always wanted to. Whereas the Democrats have never been able to form
a coherent,
because they don't want to upset their voters, because their supporters, because some of the parts of the immigration process they're not going to like. And that's for voters to have to deal with and figure out the problem. I mean, that's one of the things that really hampered Barack Obama's legacy, was he was called the deporter in chief. And so, yeah, I mean, I feel like definitely the same issue, but like the way they approach it, I think the Republicans finally just got what they wanted, which is they get to be the most draconian monsters they want to. And everyone just has to stand back and go, what do you mean this is happening like this?
Yeah. Appreciate the call, Rob. Thank you for checking in. In the time we have left before we get to the news, you have 1 month left.
Yes.
To get real ID in Wisconsin. That is a driver's license that has that special star on it. Mm-hmm. So starting May 7th, next month, people 18 and older must have a real ID compliant driver's license or other TSA approved ID. If you want to fly domestically, just within the country, you are not going to be able to get on a plane if you don't have this real ID or a passport.
What else can't you do, Jane?
You can't go into a federal building.
Which I didn't know. I knew about the real ID. I got my real ID in December. I'd been pushing it off and pushing it because we had talked about this. The fact that it was very difficult for you, and we just found out that one of our other coworkers went through the same problem.
I tried to get one of these real early on.
Yeah.
I brought my birth certificate. I brought my marriage license. I brought my passport. I brought my Social Security card that my parents gave me.
Yeah.
And they rejected my Social Security card because of something missing on this perforated line. She said, we need your original Social Security card. I said, I've had this since I was 9. I got rejected, so I still don't have one. I have a passport.
Yeah.
But if you don't have a passport, and a lot of people don't, you need this real ID if you plan to do any traveling within the United States, or you need to get into a federal building.
So in the show notes today, I'm going to put the article we're referencing right now, which will give you a list, if you don't have a real ID, of things you can use to
apply.
To substitute it.
Right.
I will also put in the show notes the direct link to the state as far as what you need to apply to get that. Because we are going to start seeing on April 9th or May 9th,
May 9th,
stories of people freaking out at the airport.
Yes.
Saying, what do you mean?
I can't get on the plane.
So please, this is like we'd say before, share what you know, talk to your friends and family about
let
this,
them
make
know.
Sure they know, because if you plan on traveling, this could hamper everything you worked on. So,
and we don't want you to be taken by surprise.
No.
Seriously.
No.
So your driver's license will still be valid after May 7th, but you can't use it to fly domestically or to get into a federal building without that real ID that has the special star up in the right-hand side. So make sure you check out the show notes.
Yep.
After the show is over, we will have all those links in there. And as Greg said, too, share what you know, please.
Yes.
I don't want you to be heading out on your summer vacation and you get turned away as you're trying to check in at the airport.
Yeah.
So real ID, you're going to need one. News is coming up next. When we return, we'll kick things around from Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio. You are listening to Matinee on Air on the vast statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up in Austria and New Zealand if you have the app.
And Paris.
The Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter next hour at this time as we have started to do.
Yeah.
It's become a thing.
Yeah.
We're doing what we call our audio sorbet segment, where we take a little breath, get away from the news, and talk about lighter, sillier things.
Yeah.
Today, our audio sorbet's question, here is the question we're going to ask you next hour. Am I cheap or am I just Wisconsin? There's a lot of potential here.
Yeah.
There's a lot of potential. So think about it. Am I cheap or am I just Wisconsin? We'll kick that around next hour at this time. Right now, though, from an undisclosed bunker somewhere out west, joining us, the host of Up North News Radio, Pat Kreitlow, is here. Good morning, Pat. Thank you so much for taking time.
Good morning. Nice to see you.
Good to see you as well. I wanted to start off, and I was listening, as I always do, on my way into the station this morning, and you were talking a little bit about some of the, and I'm not even going to put a light word on it, some of the dastardly things that are going on in North Carolina regarding regarding that Supreme Court race.
Yes.
Now, we are months removed from that election.
That's correct. It's
right.
It's the only November election still undecided across the country.
We're still fighting about this. So essentially, the court is 5-2. It's five conservatives, two liberals on the state Supreme Court in North Carolina. The Democrat won her reelection, and her Republican challenger is challenging the validity of the votes. It was a close race. Right.
It was a close race, 734 votes, I think. So
that's tight.
It's very tight. So now we're talking about challenging the validity, not of, you know, a handful of votes to get him over the top, but now is saying, well, actually, on a technicality, here are 65,000 voters who we think might have committed fraud and we don't want their votes to count. 65,000.
And from what I understand, Pat, it's not that these people were voting illegally. It's not that these were administrative errors or these are very small errors that were made.
It deals with that whole voter ID obsession that Republicans have for fraud that does not exist.
Right.
And instead, you're setting the groundwork for voters to be disenfranchised because of the hoops to jump through. In the case of North Carolina, when you originally register to vote, you either have to show a photo ID or give the last four digits of your social security number. I don't quite understand that, but that's the rule. And after this election in November, the legal team for the Republican candidate said that there were some 65,000 voters who have not done that. But it turns out a lot of it was administrative, either, you know, a data entry mistake or something like that. Or, and this is the part that should get to everybody, the names didn't match. And the names didn't match for some of these voters because they were women who got married and changed their name. And so when we hear that from people that, you know, women could lose their voting rights,
yes,
as a result of this, and people go, oh, you're being dramatic. You're being dramatic.
No, not at all. That's part of the SAVE Act, which they were supposed to vote on last week.
Yep.
And then Mike Johnson got all ticked off and took his ball and went home. Right. Whether or not they're going to get around to voting on the SAVE Act this week, I am not quite certain. But yes, that is what is going to happen, my dear married lady friends. Mm-hmm. This is an opportunity for them to say, if your birth certificate does not match your driver's license, you're not going to be able to vote because we don't know who you are.
Yeah. Right. And a lot of I can hear some people saying, well, I mean, that would affect all women. So why would they do that? They wouldn't do that. Target, you know, Republican women, too. Well, of course they would, because they understand that, you know, voter turnout in higher population areas, cities primarily, tend to vote Democratic. So they're simply playing the odds and saying, we don't mind disenfranchising a few of our Republican women in the rural areas if we are able to disenfranchise even more women in urban areas who probably voted Democratic.
Yeah. But I think this also plays along, Pat, with, and we've heard some Trump administration, or at least fringe people around the Trump administration, essentially say women should not be allowed to vote. I mean, wasn't it J.D. Vance who said that there should be one vote per household?
Per household.
Per household. Yeah. And then if you had children, you got to have more votes.
Yeah.
It's so ugly.
It sounds like a board game. It sounds like, well, you got a family. You get more votes now.
It sounds like HBO's next dystopian, you know, series. Yeah. And it starts with, you know, somehow undoing the rights of women to vote. And I don't want to get all Handmaid's Tale here, but again, we're seeing things that we never thought we'd see where others would say, oh, this would never happen. It's starting to happen.
Oh, yeah.
And we have to quit normalizing it.
Yep.
And be prepared for it. Right. We did talk about this a little bit last week when we had Andrew Watkins on the show.
Yeah.
And Andrew Watkins is a best-selling New York Times author. She grew up in a Christian nationalist household. By the way, we have an Instagram reel that's getting a little attention in our conversation with Andrew Watkins, if you want to check that out. But she essentially said there are Christian nationalists within the Trump administration now. Russ Vogt, who is one of the main architects of Project 2025, he's now the Office of Management and Budget, and he is a Christian nationalist. And if you watch any of those guys on YouTube or wherever, they are very much that women should not be allowed to vote. Women belong at home raising children. Essentially, that's your only function.
And that's not just a national figure. There are members of the Wisconsin legislature in the last session when there was talk about boosting support for child care centers, for child care providers, for parents, when they heard all of these stories of women primarily who had to leave the workforce because of the child care crisis. While it was not necessarily said explicitly, it was so implicit in the Q&A that their point was, well, if maybe you shouldn't be working
there. Yeah.
Maybe they want more women to stay home and raise the kids. It takes us to the Medicaid expansion for postpartum care.
Yep.
Who's standing in the way of that? Robin Voss.
Yep.
Only the assembly speaker is standing in the way of women getting extra health care that they need because, again, of this mindset that women, remember Donald Trump saying during the campaign, you know, we're going to take care of the women, whether they like it or not.
Oh, I remember.
That's exactly what this is.
And we're in a situation too, Pat, where, you have Republican lawmakers in Madison saying, I don't know why this isn't going through. And this is something they could campaign on. This is something that everybody supports when it comes to Medicaid expansion for women.
That's a it was a bipartisan measure, like, that got approved.
Like, you had church members and you had pro-choice people. Like, everyone just agreed. This was a non-issue, and Robin Voss has somehow made it an issue. And you're right, too. The choosing of they don't talk about one parent staying home and one parent working. It's always the man needs to earn the money. He needs to be the breadwinner, and the woman needs to know her place, be barefoot and pregnant, and don't ask so many questions. The man will vote for the family.
Right. Ugh.
Yeah. Go back to North Carolina.
Sorry.
I'm just thinking, again, we were talking about what they're trying to pull. Essentially, what they are trying to pull in North Carolina is award the Supreme Court seat to the Republican on the basis of these insignificant errors that were made, clerical errors, essentially. I would think that Republicans who are among these 60,000 voters who would be disenfranchised, they'd be ticked off about this.
They're going to be, if it gets to the point where this appeals court last week that shocked everybody and made up a number. It said, well, we're going to give those 65,000 people 15 days to prove that they are who they say they are, which would have swamped local clerks' offices. It would have inconvenienced these thousands of people. It's on hold right now, but it's not a done deal yet. And if the state Supreme Court, which put a temporary hold on, if they lift that hold and say, you know what, you're right, let's start the clock at 15 days. You're right. There are a lot of Republican voters who are going to be very unhappy about this. And they should be, because there's two different ways to disenfranchise a voter. Either before the election, where you try to get a bunch of voters dropped from the roll to claim that, oh, they don't live there anymore, right, they're dead, whatever. Or after the election, as is being done now. And just, by the way, folks, Republicans did both of those things, tried to do both of those things in Wisconsin.
Yep.
Ahead of the 2020 presidential election, where they tried to get tens of thousands of voters dropped before the election and then challenge the results after the election.
They're so confident in their own ideas.
Oh, yeah, their ideas. That's how they're winning on that.
Yeah.
They remain, and again, this is not every Republican voter. I'm talking about Republican elected officials. They remain the only political party, the only major political class in the developed world where their mindset isn't encouraging people to vote, it's discouraging people from voting or finding ways to make their vote not count.
We talk about this all the time, the day after election, whenever the GOP loses an election or a series of elections handily, the postmortem is always, we need to learn how to reach out to people. We need to get out there, get the ground game better. They need to do the work. They need to get a knock on doors. All those things. They always say at the end of the day, they go, let's not do that. Let's just make it harder to vote. That's just the easy. I don't have to go out and knock on doors and get yelled at by people and have to actually work for my job.
Yeah,
I'd rather just make it more difficult.
That's what making the circles in Wisconsin conservative social media spaces were things like a post that said, you know, Brad Schimmel got more votes than any Democratic vote in the history of Supreme Court races, yet lost by 10 points, you know, not accounting for this was a big race, population changes.
Right.
Anyway, they wanted to say turnout isn't the issue. Dems have mastered ballot harvesting over a lengthy voting period. In other words, we're letting people vote who don't have 9-to-5 jobs or they're in the military or whatever the case may be. But the whining that it's ballot harvesting instead of simply helping people to vote is staggering.
I'm just wondering, do we talk to Derek Von Ruden or Hans Breitmoser to talk to the harvesters here in Wisconsin? Because I'm sure we have lots of ballot farmers here in Wisconsin. They're a hardworking bunch working.
Well, and we were talking about this yesterday, Pat. Then now in the postmortem that since Schimmel lost, now they're targeting Brian Schimming, head of the Republican Party. It's like, it's his fault. Let's blame him. Brian Schimming is the one who actually encouraged people to vote early and bank your vote. And that kind of worked. I mean, that did not work against them. That didn't work against the Republicans.
No, and it's just indicative of that split that's happening right now in the Republican Party in Wisconsin. The folks who were what you would call mainstream Republicans, and then the folks in MAGA world or Turning Point, that organization that's getting stronger. And I mean, it is causing some real fractured. They needed extra security for an 8th District caucus not long ago in Northeast Wisconsin because of the group that wants to just disenfranchise voters and blame the state party share or whatever, instead of actually, you know, saying maybe we need to improve our ideas.
Yeah, maybe our policies are bad. And this also reminds me, ladies, and Andrew Watkins suggested this too. If you do not have a copy of your birth certificate, I would get one now. You want to have a copy with a raised seal on it. It's very important. Don't just take, put it on your printer and make a copy of it. You need one with a raised seal just to be doubly sure.
She said she has 15 copies.
That might be over.
Yeah.
That might be overdoing it, but a little bit. But ladies, I would really suggest that you have a copy of your birth certificate.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, yes. And get that raised copy with the official state seal on it, or the notary public seal as the case may be. Because again, if not now, there may come a time down the road, and you don't want to be among the folks who are like getting Social Security benefits now, and now these offices are closing.
Yep.
They can't use the phone, and they have to go digging for a birth certificate now. Get it sooner rather than when you really need it.
Exactly. Just make sure you have it. All right, we're going to continue our conversation with Pat Kreitlow. Michael Gableman is back in the news. Oh, we've missed him. That's coming up next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up right after our show from noon to 2, the wonderful Todd Alba. Pat Kreitlow getting a workout. You're going to be on Todd Alba's show too later on today.
I don't know how I managed to double book myself that way, and I apologize to the listeners.
No, you are so very popular. It's wonderful. A busy day for Pat and Todd. This is great. He does what's worse, which is really a lot of fun. Todd has an HVAC edition of what's worse. That should be wonderful. Coming up between noon and 2 today across the Civic Media Radio Network, we are joined by Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio. Let's talk a little bit about, little bad boy Michael Gableman. Naughty, naughty, naughty. 3 years, 3 year law license suspension.
Couldn't have happened to a more deserving person,
right?
About this, because can I just take everybody back to the very beginning of Michael Gableman's alleged investigation into the 2020 presidential election?
Oh, please.
The thing that to keep in mind the most, and I'm really surprised this doesn't get more play, that after the 2020 election, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said, we're going to look into these reports of irregularities, and we're going to hire a top-notch investigator to look into this. And people thought, who's this going to be?
Who would that be?
Fast forward to him announcing that it would be former Justice Michael Gableman, making that announcement at the state Republican convention. If that doesn't scream this investigation is not going to be on the up and up, I don't know what does. And so from the very beginning, it was clear this was going to be, shall we say, not on the level. But then Gableman began making blunder after blunder. I kept referring to him as Inspector Clouseau for people old enough to remember the Pink Panther movies. He could not stop blundering and blathering. And it was getting him into trouble, refusing requests for, you know, open records.
Yes.
Demanding that elected officials testify to him behind closed doors, or he was going to have them jailed. And eventually it was going to catch up to him, especially when he he made disparaging remarks about a female attorney, when he talked back to a judge in another one of these court hearings.
Yep.
And so eventually you see now the Office of Lawyer Regulation working out a deal with him for a 3-year suspension of his license.
I guess I take some comfort in the fact that actually something was done, because sometimes it feels like lawyers can get away, lawyers and judges can get away with anything, and there is never any accountability for it, right?
It's reassuring that there's this group, because you know now that if Trump, or let's say a Republican governor is elected, or the legislature, you know they're going after that Office of Lawyer Regulation.
Oh, yeah.
And saying, oh, how did we miss this one? Let's get rid of this one.
I used to have an internship at the county courthouse in Milwaukee, and my teacher talk to me about how difficult it is for someone to be punished or disbarred. Like, you have to screw up in a way that is almost comically bad. Yeah. No one ever mentions this, but one of my favorite things about this is when he went to Waukesha to say, arrest the mayor of Green Bay.
Yeah.
Like, who do you think you are, sir? You weren't given a special badge. You're just Michael Gableman.
Oh, no, he had a special badge. He created a special seal for his office. And
did he make a coin?
These official looking, it wasn't a coin, but it was a seal to put on a special report where he gave himself this name of Special Office of Investigation or something like that. I mean, he was so full of himself and his powers that he thought would be unchecked. And maybe in some other scenario they would have been, but he couldn't stop getting in his own way is the cleanest way I can say it. In terms of what he did, he was awful.
I did not know about the special seal thing. That sounds so very commemorative coin like.
Yes.
And
yes.
It just makes me feel like these guys did not get enough attention or recognition when they were children.
Wait, there's people that would also give us the department, quote unquote, of government efficiency or DOGE.
Yes.
These guys are obsessed with giving themselves titles and power and things like that.
And giving them self accolades, right?
Yes.
Just fluffing themselves up to be more important than they are. Dudes.
And my dude, anything not to go to therapy.
Right? Go talk to somebody.
Any of that would have been either minimized or forgotten if they'd have found one thing that would have justified all this concern about election irregularities in 2020. But of course, there wasn't any. But it was like they didn't even try because they knew there wasn't any. So it was all bluster.
Yeah.
To the tune of a little over $2 million that we all got to pay for, lucky us. At least now, Susan Crawford, we have it on the record. We have her on tape. She is not going to spend $10,000 of taxpayer money on commemorative coins. She told us that.
Oh, but I am. Okay. Look out for my fund.
For Greg, who's now named himself the mayor of whatever studio he's in.
Yeah. And we're going to
coin to prove it.
We're going to make ourselves a special Matt Nair on air seal. I don't know what we're going to do with it, but we're going to do it anyway.
At least it's not the seal from the Mountain Dew commercial during the Super Bowl. That's fine. That was weird.
Pat Kreitlow is the host of Up North News Radio every morning from 6 to 8 a.m. across the networks. Thank you so very much, Pat. Really appreciate it. We'll be listening
for you.
With Todd in between noon and 2 today. We have news coming up next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I need a little more loving in my heart.
People say that love will grow.
So how was I to know? Love that's come through years and years can't find a way back home anymore.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.